Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Paul wrote to his young protege, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, "I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth." This morning, we're going to take a closer look at the church. Any barefoot parent on the way to the bathroom in the middle of the night who's ever accidentally stepped on a hard plastic Lego brick will never forget the pain. And any parents who've ever taken their children to a Lego land will never forget the pain inflicted on their plastic credit card either. But did you know that just six regular 8-stud Lego bricks can be put together in 915,103,765 different ways? Now, how is that for possibilities? So it's little wonder these painfully precious pieces of plastic have been with us since 1958, with no end in sight, making billions of dollars off amateur wannabe architects of all ages, who, by the way, also are encouraged on the Lego website to submit new building ideas to further expand the Lego product line. I forgot to mention, don't bother, however, suggesting a church building. Lego has gone woke. Number two of a list of 10 on Lego's website list of so-called branding standards explicitly warns against and forbids, quote, "religious references including symbols, buildings, or people." But mind you, that wasn't always the case. From 1957 to 1962, the company produced a 149-piece church set as part of its Town Plan series. And it was based on a church, in fact, just 12 miles down the road from Lego headquarters. But now, ever since the early 1960s, thousands of those Lego religious fanatics who decided to cobble together sundry Lego pieces over the years and construct their own knockoff church structures have dwelled in dreaded fear that in the middle of the night, a horde of tiny plastic men with little plastic pistols and the letters DOJ or FBI stenciled on their backs will suddenly appear upon the fibers of their front door's coconut welcome mat, demanding that they dismantle their sacred but unsanctioned religious works of art. Of course, God's church has always been under the threat of attack. But remember that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 5, verse 10, that persecution should be a badge of honor for his followers. And yet I believe that something worse is happening to the church today than being attacked. The church is being ignored. It's being judged as irrelevant and unnecessary, and thus has been left entirely out of the conversation instead of leading the conversation as a moral compass and springboard for proclaiming and explaining the gospel message of salvation through Christ alone to those in the secular realm. But before we go any further, I think in order to clarify things, we need to address three basic questions. What is the church? Where is the church? And perhaps most importantly, why is the church? But let's start with answering what is the church. Should be simple enough that even a child could answer that, right? Well, I'm sorry, I can't manually demonstrate the hand motions because I literally crushed my ring finger about a month ago and lost some mobility. But you remember the little children's rhyme with the hand and finger motions. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Now, in biblical terms, whether it be in reference to the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, or the churches that St. Paul or St. Peter or St. John write to in their epistles, you'll notice that they are directed toward people, not buildings. Not that I'm discounting the importance of church structures, mind you. If I preach a sermon when it's raining, I'd much rather have a roof over my head at the time. And Lord knows that Before my retirement years, I was involved in plenty of new church and school building projects to expand God's ministry. But unfortunately, there always can be a temptation and a distraction of focusing ministry then on the building as the church, rather than on the people, both inside and outside the building, needing to be cared for and to be welcomed into the church. Not to speak too ill of the dead, but I recall the flamboyant ministry of a certain preacher who refused to use the word sin in any of his sermons because it might turn off potential listeners, and who fundraised $18 million, that would be $64 million in today's dollars, over 11,000 large panes of clear glass, many etched, by the way, with the donors' names on it. When I ask why, not I, when somebody asks him why build this kind of thing, I don't recall hearing any phrase like, well, to the glory of God, but I do remember him saying he'd been watching a World War II newsreel about the air bombings of some European cathedrals during the war and wanted to build a church structure in Southern California that if enemy bombers ever flew over it, they would consider it too beautiful to destroy. This temptation to put buildings before people is known in clergy circles as suffering from an edifice complex. Eventually, without God's blessing, church buildings can become just a vacant shell, of course. And that's what the Crystal Cathedral was becoming until the Catholics bought it a few years ago and continue now to refurbish it for their worship. It reminds me, though, that back in 2011, the world got as close as it would to a real church made out of Lego bricks. As part of the Grinsvik or Grinsverk festival in the Netherlands, an architect and a visual artist created gigantus is the second word. It's a 65-foot-tall church made out of Lego blocks. Large, heavy, but stackable concrete blocks that look exactly like the plastic bricks that they sound like. Most bricks being the gray Lego color used for retaining walls, but the rest painted in bright primary colors. The designers explain, and I quote now them, the architect and the visual artist, "A church is a community building where people come together. It also serves as an important role in organizing the public space. A church is always in the center of an area, in the same manner in which lighthouses guard a border and bridges connect people. A church centers an area. And so this church appeals to sentiments for a renewed sense of community." Well, this church never hosted an actual church service. It was just used for occasional concerts and other performances. Again, kind of a shell of a church. But the church is meant to be at the center of the community. You can see it in the heritage of so many American towns as well. But just visit Europe and look where most of the town's parishioners built their church structure. In the middle of town and on a hill if they had one. In Matthew 5, Jesus compared God's people to a light for the world and also a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. How much more true should that be for God's church? But our second question we need to answer is, where actually is God's church? Well, that's easy. The church is at 225 East Highway 12 in Valley Springs, or at 105 South Ham Lane in Lodi, or 42 Summit Street in Jackson. Well, yeah, that's true. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind that God's church can be found in all three of those locations, and many more. And so Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession really nailed it, though, when those Lutheran theologians wrote these words from our Lutheran Book of Concord. I quote, "The church is the congregation of saints, wherever the gospel is rightly taught and the sacraments are rightly administered." Remember how Jesus assured his followers in Luke 17:22 that the kingdom of God is within you? And in Matthew 18, verse 20, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So, short answer to where's the church? It's found in the hearts of believers wherever they choose to gather in order to listen to and believe that pure gospel message of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus alone. But now we come to perhaps the most important and most practical of our three major questions this morning. Why church? Before the resurrected Christ ascended back into heaven, as St. Paul said, for the good of his church, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. We call that the Great Commission. Jesus thought of it as the major task for his church. In other words, for each and every believer until the last day when Christ returns. So in other words, it's why God's church still exists right now. So, how is God's church doing? And what are they doing with that? Well, I'm afraid things aren't so hot. A survey of more than 15,000 religious congregations across the United States was taken just before the pandemic lockdown. So COVID didn't taint any survey results. And it found a median decline in attendance at churches of 7% between 2015 and 2020. But it gets worse. In 2000, when the survey company first began surveying data, the median attendance level was 137. Now it is only 65. That's a drop of more than half in just two decades. Conservative churches' attendance, yeah, it's a little better than liberal churches, but not that much. And now, during this time frame, many churches certainly did kind of cave in to the culture and abandon the true doctrine for false doctrine, becoming maybe even more secular than sacred. It's a trend, a sad trend. I just read a survey of Anglican priests over in England. This is hot off the presses. 62% of them now believe there is absolutely nothing wrong with homosexual, premarital sex, or marriage, and they should be allowed also to be priests. But survey says that the actual downward spiral here was because only 9% of all these congregations said that evangelism was a high priority for members of their congregation to share their faith. Only 9%. So to put it bluntly, forget the culture wars. Think about that figure. To put it really bluntly, the church is in decline. Why? Aside from our other contributing factors, which there are some, primarily it is because we are turned inward instead of outward. Our hearts are not breaking for what breaks the heart of God, which is people facing a Christless eternity in hell, when God's clear preference was stated in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Ironically, only a simple invite is all that's often needed from us to other relatives, friends, co-workers, or neighbors. Come and see. Come and hear. Come and explore. You know, I love to watch magicians. And the comedy magic duo of Penn and Teller are among my very favorites. I've gone to see their act in Las Vegas. But in an interview, Penn Jillette, who, by the way, is very eloquent and a deep thinker, he said something kind of haunting for us believers. Penn said, quote, I am an atheist, but I have no respect for Christian people who don't attempt to proselytize me. Because if you truly believe that there is a heaven and that people could be going to hell, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? Ouch! That struck a nerve. Whether our primary motivation for sharing the gospel with an unbeliever is so he can go to heaven, or just so he can avoid going to hell, doesn't really matter if you and I purposely choose not to deliver that gospel message of grace to them. Yeah, the pagan, They may still be going to hell. But the growth of God's church will never come from our silence. So quote St. Paul here in 1 Corinthians 9:16 in the mirror. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Being a witness of God's grace to others who have yet to experience that grace is part of our basic job description as members of God's church. And Jesus was the one who made that great commission job number one for his church. So my dear fellow redeemed, members of God's church, I'm here this morning to leave you with one simple question for you to ruminate on for the rest of your life on earth. Here it comes. What kind of church do you want to be? Look at the cover of today's church bulletin, the worship folder. Do you really want to be known as a member of the Lego church? Plastic people permanently wedged into their plastic seats, fixated with a painted stare on their face that can't see beyond themselves and their own needs? Or do you want to be the church that St. Peter spoke about in his epistle lesson today? A living organism kind of church, founded on Christ himself as our cornerstone, and in which we are not the typical sedentary stones expected to just sit there in the pocket of some mortar, but rather living stones ready to rock and roll out into the world to boldly tell others about the rock of our salvation and how he also can be their rock, their cornerstone as well. So may God grant each and every one here the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be the kind of church that he always intended us to be. In our Savior's name, amen.